As Heidi mentioned, I'm Timothy Carey. I'm at the Cold Regions Research and Engineering Lab in Hanover, New Hampshire. I'm working closely with Heidi on this project. And as she's mentioned, we've done both some greenhouse and laboratory work. The Frost Effects Research Facility is, like she said, a big, large freezer where we can do field-scale trials any time of the year, freeze it down to any temperature any time of the year. My talk today is going to be on actual field level, where we actually did the field work at Camp Guernsey. To give you a little background, Camp Guernsey, Wyoming is about 150,000 acres. 5 years ago, they purchased a 45,000 acre area that they call the Gray Rocks. Due to the environmental side and the range side not talking, they have two different ideas of what is minimum training. What is low-level training versus high-level training? The trainer's idea of low-level training is being able to take the Hemets out and drive across and do traditional training. Heavy training is when they break out the tanks and they have tracks. So that's one of the things that we're trying to work with. Specifically, we're trying to get the military lands to be a sustainable system. So that covers everything from grazing all the way through to training. Now, as you can see, the military does do some pretty severe damage, as Ann was saying. And there's been a lot of work done on, you know, what happens when you drive a vehicle across. But they haven't tied it together to looking at when we burn or have a fire. It was a vehicle that pulled off the side of the road, a military vehicle that burned in Fort Carson. You know, what happens when we have these fire issues? We combine it with some mowing at some point, and then we combine it with the actual military trafficking. So for this experiment, we're trying to quantify how the vegetation interacts. Because there's a whole other issue here as well, is you have the plant people who have a set of terms, and you have the engineers that have a set of terms. And they mean kind of the same thing, but they're worded differently. And so another part of this that should be a third bullet is being able to communicate with each other and say, here's what this means in the plant world, and here's what it means in the engineering world. Most engineering tests, as this says, didn't utilize plants. When they did their first trafficability studies, it was bare soil. So it's this type of soil can hold this much trafficability based on bare soil. We want to throw in there what the plant is doing, because the plant can help hold that soil. Even though this striker creates ruts, if there's plants there and they can survive that, it's going to hopefully reduce erosion. Excuse me. For this experiment, we're using basically a randomized complete block design, testing controlled burns versus we just let the grass grow as it is. We're not doing a vegetation management. And then also military maneuvers. And then, of course, that's randomized throughout here so that we can traffic both with mowing, without mowing, with burning and without burning. We want to look at above and below ground biomass, the mobility parameters. So we're looking at how much rutting occurs, what's the recovery of the biomass if there is rutting, what's the soil strength, and how is that terrain disturbed overall? Now, to do these parameters, we're using multiple instruments that record the same thing, because that's part of the language barrier, where I might use a cone penetrometer that goes down in the soil, you know, a drop cone penetrometer that you just drop and it goes down in the soil a certain amount. The engineer may want to use a cone penetrometer that you actually physically push into the soil. And is there a relationship between what all the different tools mean, and can we eventually determine which tools are the easiest and quickest to use for the military land managers? Now, we're taking samples both in and out of the ruts. So each one of these test plots, where there is trafficking, we take from the trafficked area and then away from that a mimicked set. With the biomass samples, we're also looking at trying to look at root to shoot ratios, so that we'll collect a sample. This is from a half meter grid. We take three samples per plot in and out of the ruts. We'll get a dry matter value for that, but then we'll also come back with a soil core and take three soil cores in and out of the ruts, 2-inch diameter, 5-centimeter soil core down to 12 inches, so that we can then look at the root volume, the root mass that's produced. We then take those samples back. We analyze them on a scanner, so that now we can tell, after we traffic, are the roots, are they changing in diameter? What's happening to the roots function-wise, and how does that help hold the soil together? Now, we can do both roots and leaves on here, so that we can again do a root-to-shoot ratio. With the soil vegetate, with the strength, we're looking at cone penetrometer, drop cone penetrometer, shear vein. We're also looking at bulk density, soil moisture, both volumetrically and electronically. Again, so that we can try to make sure that we've got all of our bases covered. Now, Heidi mentioned a Hemet. This is a Hemet. This is a Hemet fueler. And when we tracked our plots, this Hemet came with a full load of fuel. So this back tank is full of, I think it's somewhere around 3,000 gallons or some oddball amount. So it's quite a bit of fuel in there, which adds, multiply that by 8, and you've got roughly how many pounds. So we tested this at speed so that they would come in and actually do a turn. We have a slight straight area and then a turn, so that we can get damage, both a straight run damage and a turn damage. And we'll be looking at that in the future. Now, unfortunately, we had a number of setbacks. So this is preliminary data from this year's collection in August. If we look at above ground biomass, we also looked at height, so we have a significant difference in how tall the biomass was when we collected it. After being tracked, the biomass got shorter, basically because it sheared it off. So we had a significantly higher height where we didn't mow, which is what you'd expect, and a significant decrease in yield. So that if I was going to use this area, I'm going to train on it, and then I'm going to put cows out on it, there's going to be a lower yield available to the cattle. So that's something that Cape Guernsey has to think about because they do graze. They graze all 45,000 acres of the Grey Rocks Ranch. It's been grazed for 50 years. And so this is one of the management strategies they have to look at. Now, the above-ground biomass, we did have a significant decrease in the height of it when you add in the number of passes. So we ran the Hemet over that same plot 10 times or 5 times. Okay? So, again, the biomass significantly decreased. Now, when we look at shear strength, as we increased our passes, the shear strength went down, which is, again, what we would expect initially because it's like a tillage operation. It's the equivalent of running a rototiller through this one little area. Now, that does that to a point, and I'll show in the next slides, that yes, we've decreased our shear strength with increasing passes, but we actually increased the compaction. With the drop cone penetrometer, we're seeing that, again, as the number of passes increases, the depth at which it goes in increases. Okay? So as you drop that, the less dense it is, usually the lower it will go, the higher it will go in. With the cone index in the unmowed plots, the control and the 5 passes were not significantly different. But there was a significant increase in compaction as depth increased at the 10 passes. The trend held through on the mode, and what we're hoping to see is, will that increase? I mean, there's a much better separation, but there's also a lot more variability. So the mode is not, we don't have enough samples yet to show that the mode is significantly different than the unmowed. In the future, we're going to finish up our vegetation biomass samples. And hopefully next month we're actually going to apply the other treatment, which is a controlled burn. And then in the spring, when it's wet, we'll apply a second level of treatment and go back and evaluate everything that we did this year. And what we hope to find out is what biomass measures will influence the mobility, the strength, and how long is it going to take to recover? So how many troops can they run through there? Can they use the results of this project as a management strategy? Any questions? And this is like right next to my plot. So. Yes, Bob. They do. It depends on what areas. Mowing is used predominantly in their fire breaks. Okay. So the fire breaks are 40 to 80 feet wide, and they're basically vegetated roads.
So they don't grade them?
They grade some of them, but others of them they don't. And the ones that they mow them all, because even the ones that are graded, they go out another 3 passes of the mower and mow them to keep that vegetation down. But the vegetated ones, they have to mow. And they don't allow the cows on them because they're concerned with the cows actually causing an erosion issue. So does that answer your question? Right. Yeah, it'd be like Fort Riley, I think, does do haying out lease. And the other thing this can be used for is the military is looking, in terms of sustainability, they're also looking in terms of biofuels, which will be talked about in the next session. It's looked at some of these areas could be used as biofuel production areas. And I know that the Army Materiel Command has a CERTIP project where they're creating a gasifier to take waste materials of all sorts and put in it to produce energy for forward operating bases. Right. It depends, but it may be something that they can put into their management strategy for an area that they can't train in. But that's the problem, is all these different things haven't been brought together. Because who knows? Maybe we find out next year that, gee, if we graze on it, burn it, and train on it, that actually causes the grass to do better. I doubt it, but but you know, that's the kind of answers we're trying to get out of. Okay? Anything else?
I think that will conclude our morning session. I would, if you look in the schedule, we're supposed to have a business meeting now. That has a little bit of a glitch in the program. The business meeting for the land management community will be this afternoon in this same room following the section meeting. So the section meeting starts at 4:45, and then we'll break out into our community meeting at that time. I encourage everybody to come back for that discussion. Will be at least one important thing that we'll have to decide on is we'll need a new vice chair for the section, and we need to put a name forward, and the land management will put one name forward, and the experimental station will put a name forward and for that position. So we'll need to be thinking about names that you might want to work on for those as potential chair for that section. With that, thank you for coming, and we'll see you this afternoon.